This reading was developed by the Center for Clinical Interventions. Overcoming Disordered Eating, Information Pack B, In Charge, Mindset Matters, Module 3, Challenging Dietary Rules. In this module, we'll go over an introduction, and then we'll discuss overcoming food avoidance, using behavioral experiments, addressing residual binges, problem solving, and then conclude with a module summary. This is the third module of Information Pack B, which provides information and strategies to help you start challenging your thoughts associated with your disordered eating and weight control habits. We recommend that you do not proceed with this information pack unless you've worked through Information Pack A, which offers strategies to change your disordered behaviors. We also recommend that you work through all the modules in this information pack in order. If you do think you might suffer from an eating disorder, it's important that you talk to your general practitioner, as there are many physical complications that can arise from being at an unhealthy low weight, from losing weight very quickly, or from purging. We advise that you seek professional help when working with an eating disorder. If you use any extreme weight control behaviors, even rarely, you should also see your general practitioner for a full medical checkup, as your health might be compromised. Such extreme measures include extreme food restriction or fasting and/or rapid weight loss, purging, self-induced vomiting, misuse of laxatives or diuretics, and extreme exercise. Introduction. In the previous module, we gave you some strategies for challenging thoughts. We first addressed strict dietary rules in Information Pack A, and we revisit them here so that you can build on the skills you learned in the past module. Dietary rules can be challenging either by using thought diaries, as we did in the last module, or by doing specific things to test how valid our rules are, as we will be doing in this module, using behavioral experiments. In this module, we'll also analyze any binges you still may be having, and introduce a problem-solving strategy that you can apply to all kinds of problems in your life. As we have outlined earlier in Information Pack A, engaging in dietary restraint and dietary restriction isn't a solution, it is a problem. You will never get healthy or conquer your disordered eating and unhealthy weight control behaviors until you loosen up your strict dietary rules. By now, we hope that you have loosened up some of your dietary rules, but it's likely that you're still stuck in the black and white thinking of certain rules. Remember, keeping those rigid rules sets you up to break them, and this can lead you to binge or feel bad about yourself, which keeps up the vicious cycle of this and other disturbed eating habits and weight control behaviors. Overcoming food avoidance. It is likely that you still feel uncomfortable eating certain foods because you're afraid that they'll make you gain weight, or you might lose control whilst eating them. You may have developed strict rules about not eating these foods and try to avoid them. A major step in overcoming strict dietary rules is to stop avoiding certain foods. When you stop avoiding foods, you're addressing a set of dietary rules about what to eat. You probably have a list of forbidden or bad foods, and now you might be more aware now of some of your unhelpful thinking styles, such as black and white thinking. We have noted that strict dietary rules tend to get broken, and this can be upsetting and reactivate the eating disorder cycle you've been working so hard to break. For this reason, it's important that you overcome your fear of these foods and practice eating them as a part of your normal life. As we said in the earlier module, some foods like fruits and vegetables, meat, fish, tofu, bread, rice, potatoes, pasta, dairy, and oils, you need to be able to eat every day, while others like chocolate and ice cream can be thought of as occasional foods. It's physically impossible to put on weight by eating one normal size serving of any food. You need to challenge your worries about eating these foods, as these worries are part of the unhelpful thinking patterns related to eating disorders. Remember, we're not saying that you will have to eat lots of these foods every day. We just want you to be able to eat them from time to time without fear, and to rid yourself of the eating disorder mindset that forbids you to eat them. Then you'll be able to go out and eat with others. By challenging your unhelpful thoughts, as you did in the last module using a thought diary, you can continue to weaken the hold that the eating disorder thinking has on you and to challenge unhelpful thinking such as labeling foods good or bad. The next step in challenging your strict dietary rules is to find out how accurate your unhelpful thoughts really are, like a scientist doing an experiment to test out your expectations or predictions. We call exercises such as these behavioral experiments because you're experimenting with new behaviors, like a scientist conducting a new experiment. Behavioral experiments are especially useful when you're unsure or haven't gotten much evidence for and against your unhelpful beliefs because you've been avoiding certain things for a long time. Using behavioral experiments. It's important to set up the experiment and be specific about what it is you'll actually do and how you will gather evidence. You can conduct a survey gathering evidence either by making observations or questioning people. Read up on things to obtain information. Stay in a situation that you would usually avoid or leave early. Or plan to behave in a certain way and see how it pans out. The best way to describe a behavioral experiment is to walk you through one. Here's a supermarket exercise. Let's begin with the supermarket exercise. Before you start with this behavioral experiment, you'll need to go on a fact-finding mission. You'll need to go to the supermarket, taking this sheet of paper and a pen. You may need more paper, so take some more sheets or a small notebook. In the supermarket, as you walk through the aisles, imagine yourself eating the foods on the shelves. Ask yourself if you're scared to eat them. List everything that you consider a forbidden food. When you get home, take your list and rate your level of fear on a scale of 1 to 10 if you had to eat one serving of that food. On the sheet provided, you'll see a chart for this exercise. The first column is where you will list your avoided foods, and in the second column, you'll scale your fear level from 1 to 10. You can pause the recording now to complete this exercise. Now, take your list of the supermarket foods and categorize them into three columns over leaf, according to the level of fear you would experience if you were asked to eat that particular item of food. You may wish to add foods that you didn't see at the supermarket. You can use the sheet provided in the handout. In the first column, foods I avoid a little, scaling from 1 to 4, for example, an avocado in salad. In the second column, that's where you'll put your foods you avoid a lot, ranging from 5 to 7. For example, peanut butter on toast. And in the final column, you'll write the foods that you avoid totally, with your fear score ranging from 8 to 10. For example, chocolate. You can pause the recording to complete this. We're now suggesting that you construct a behavioral experiment that will allow you to gradually begin eating some of these foods that you've been avoiding. It might be difficult, so you'll need to challenge yourself and those negative thoughts about the foods. Begin your first experiment with your easier foods, those in column A. Choose one food item from this column that you rated approximately 3 or 4 out of 10. Plan to eat your selected food in the next week. You may want to introduce the food on a day that you feel more confident. Eat it in the place of or as part of a normal meal or snack. For example, half an avocado sliced in a salad. Don't worry if you only try it once. Note your reactions to eating the food in your food records. In this instance, you may want to consider when and where you eat your avoided food, as well as how much and who you'll be with. It's important to realize that if your prediction is related to weight change, for example, if I eat 2 slices of white toast every morning, I'll put on 2 kilograms in a week, then your experiment will have to last 4 weeks. Remember what we said, that you need 4 weeks to see if a weight change represents a real change in body mass or just a normal fluctuation. Why not start with testing out a belief not related to weight? Setting up a behavioral experiment. Here are some steps that you'll need to work through to test out your beliefs and predictions. Steps 1 through 6 are done ahead of the experiment, and steps 7 and 8 after the experiment. Now listen to the steps carefully first, and then we'll go through the completed example on the next page. Step 1. Identify your belief to be tested. Identify what belief or prediction you'd like to test out. Ask yourself questions like, what will happen if my belief is true? For example, if I eat a slice of white bread, will I start to binge? Step 2. Record how strongly you believe your prediction, between 0 and 100%. Step 3. Identify an alternative belief. What's another possible belief about this subject? What might happen if this alternative belief were true? Step 4. Record how strongly you believe in this alternative prediction between 0 and 100%. Step 5. Plan your experiment. This involves planning what you'll need to do to test the accuracy of your predictions. Be specific about what it is you plan to actually do and how you'll gather your evidence. Are you going to conduct a survey, do research, or plan to behave in a certain way and see what happens? Starting with easier conditions is often a good idea when you're starting out. Step 6. Agree to a time frame. Give yourself enough time to test whether either belief has support. Step 7. Record what happened and evaluate the results. Once you've planned your experiment, follow through with what you set out to do in step 5. Carry out the experiment and record what actually happened. Remember to write down all of the details. Which belief was supported by the evidence? In step 8, revisit and re-rate the beliefs. The last step is to reflect on what actually happened and how this compares to what you were predicting in steps 1 to 4. Ask yourself, what did I learn from this experiment? What did the results say about my original predictions? How am I going to use this information in the future? Then, re-rate how much you now believe your original belief and your alternative belief from 0 to 100%. If the results of your experiment do not support your original belief, which is often the case, that's great. However, should your prediction be partially supported, which may happen at times, it will be important to ask yourself some questions about this. Ask yourself, were there any other reasons for the results? What else was happening at the time? Are there other ways of viewing what happened? What could I learn from the experience to adjust my attitudes in the future? It's important to note that not everything we think is inaccurate or has no grain of truth to it. However, we rarely step back to question our predictions or test them out. We often blindly believe our beliefs and expectations even when they're unhelpful to us. This is a habit that's important to break. Now, listen to the example on the next page to give you an idea of what a behavioral experiment might look like. My behavioral experiment example. Current belief to be tested. What is my unhelpful belief or prediction to be tested? What am I afraid will happen? How strongly do I believe in this prediction from 0 to 100%? So if I eat 1/4 of an avocado, I'll feel so bad that I've eaten fats that I'll binge within the next hour, 80%. Here's my alternative belief to be tested. What alternative belief or prediction can I test out? What will happen if this belief is true? And how strongly do I believe in this prediction from 0 to 100%? I might enjoy the avocado and eating 1/4 won't lead to a binge, 30%. Now here's the experiment plan. What are the specific things I'll do to test my predictions? When, where, and how will I test it out? So I will make my lunches at home and I'll put 1/4 of an avocado in my lunch wrap on Monday next week. Now I'll agree to a time frame. How long will my experiment last? 90 minutes, 30 minutes to eat lunch, and 60 minutes where I'm predicting a binge. What happened? What actually happened when I carried out the experiment? Which belief was supported by the evidence? It tasted so good. It felt a bit scary at first, and because I was worried about binge eating, it did cross my mind, but I didn't binge in the hour or later that day. I think I should probably practice a few more times to get used to it. Now let's revisit. What do the results say about my original prediction? What did I learn? Now I learned that things I'm scared of don't always come true. I learned that my fear of eating 1/4 of an avocado didn't lead to a binge. Now, let's re-rate the original belief and the alternative belief. How strongly do I believe my original thought now that I've carried out the experiment? And how much do I believe the alternative belief? Now, the original belief, 30%. The alternative belief, after seeing my results, 65% now. Now, after going through the steps and hearing the example, you're ready to conduct an experiment. Now, listen over the steps on page 5 again and start. There's a blank worksheet for you over leaf. Start with the supermarket exercise on page 4 using a food from column A, which you usually avoid. On page 7 of your handout, you'll find a template to do your own behavioral experiment. So the first section is your current belief to be tested. What is my unhelpful belief or prediction to be tested? What am I afraid will happen, and how strongly do I believe in this prediction from 0 to 100%? The next section, alternative belief to be tested. What alternative belief or prediction can I test out, and what will happen if this belief is true? Then how strongly do I believe in this prediction from 0 to 100%? You can pause the recording along the way so that you can fill out this for yourself. Experiment plan. So what are specific things you'll do to test your predictions? When, where, and how will I test it out? That's the next section on your worksheet. Next, agree to a time frame. How long will your experiment last? The next section is what happened. What actually happened when you carried out the experiment, and which belief was supported by the evidence? The next section is revisit. What did the results say about your original prediction, and what did you learn? And finally, let's re-rate the original belief and the alternative belief. How strongly do you believe the original thought now that you've carried out the experiment? How much do you believe in the alternative belief? It's important to practice this behavior. Experiment eating the same food a few times until the fear level, rating out of 10, comes down and you're able to incorporate the food into your regular eating pattern. Now that you're ready to move on to other foods on your list, remember that the key is to break things down into steps. So if one regular-sized chocolate bar is 10 out of 10, you may need to start by eating a fun-sized bar or a Freddo Frog and then work up to a regular bar. Chocolate is an occasional food, and it may take several weeks before you've worked through this fear. You don't have to eat chocolate all the time, you just need to be able to cope with eating some from time to time without your eating disorder mindset getting reactivated. This process will take some time. In the beginning, it may well cause anxiety and distress. However, the more you practice this task, the easier it will become. You need to start facing your fears in order to overcome them. You may want to tackle only the foods in column A for now and come back later to tackle foods in columns B and C. Take a moment to think about how you'll introduce different forbidden foods into your own life. Consider what might get in the way of succeeding with this exercise and what you'll need to do to succeed in eating the foods that you've been avoiding. Please write down your thoughts and the lines provided on your worksheet below. You can take some time and pause the recording to do this. Overcoming other forms of dietary rules. We can address other forms of dietary rules in a similar way as behavior experiments. You may want to challenge some other rules by testing out your predictions or fears of what might happen. Other rules might include keeping to a low daily calorie intake, not eating in front of people, and not eating in restaurants because you don't know what ingredients have gone into the dish. You might like to take another look at Module 8 from Information Pack A. Look at your food rules and decide which you would like to challenge first. Take one at a time and be systematic. Write down the dietary rule that you'll challenge first. You can pause the recording and write that on the lines provided on the handout. Guidelines, not rules. If you wish to cease dietary restraint, it's crucial to cease all dietary rules. Instead of removing your rules altogether, you may find it easier to convert them into general guidelines. For example, if you've been following the rule, I must not eat chips, you can convert this rule to guidelines. I'll not eat chips every day. Remember, chips can be an occasional food for you. Guidelines are more user-friendly than rules. Guidelines do not have an all-or-nothing feel to them. They do not come over as dictatorial demands, so they don't bring on severe emotional consequences when they're not followed. A healthy eater may have a guideline such as, I only eat ice cream on weekends. But if he goes out with a friend midweek and they end up eating ice cream, he doesn't worry about it. There's no rigid rule to break and no unhappy consequences. Ice cream for him is an occasional food. He still doesn't eat it every day. However, not all of your rules should be converted to guidelines. Some rules ought to be totally eliminated, and they do not lend themselves to a conversion to a healthy guideline. For example, if you have been using a rule such as, I must only eat 1,200 calories a day, this rule might ought to go. This is because it's an unreasonably low daily calorie limit, which is unhealthy in that it can result in malnutrition and starvation. Furthermore, it's unhelpful as it lowers your metabolism and can lead to binge eating. It's also unhelpful for your morale, as at some point you'll break this rule and feel like a failure. Take a moment to consider how you'll cease your dietary rules. Are there any rules that you'd like to convert to guidelines? And what rules should you remove completely? And how will you make this work for you? Please take some time, pause the recording, and write your thoughts on the lines below on page 9. If you're still having problems ceasing dietary rules, you might find it useful to use a thought diary, which we've introduced in the last module. You can use this strategy to address any difficulties you have in achieving behavioral change. Addressing residual binges. Having strict dietary rules makes it likely that you'll break a rule and eat more than you wish or even binge. Even if you're following all the advice in this information pack, it is likely, if you have a tendency to binge, that you will have an occasional binge. It's important at this point to examine what's going on in every single binge. Then you can make the appropriate changes. One good way of examining the evidence is through self-monitoring. Are you still completing your self-monitoring forms daily in real time? Are you filling out that last column? You can learn a lot from what you write down about your thoughts and feelings in the situation. We have addressed how breaking a strict dietary rule can lead to binge eating. What else can contribute? Alcohol and drugs. It's common for people with problems to overuse alcohol or recreational drugs, or even some prescription drugs, to help them cope. Some ways in which they help are by making you zone out, feel numb, not care so much. But alcohol and many drugs lower your inhibitions. Say, for example, that you decided not to eat at night and instead drank half a bottle of wine. This will lower your inhibitions about eating, which will make you more likely to break that rule of not eating. Some drugs, such as marijuana, increase your appetite, resulting in attack of the munchies, and might make it more likely that you'll overeat. The next day's hangover may also adversely affect your eating pattern. Once you start drinking or taking drugs, what role might alcohol or drugs play in any residual binges that you have? Do your best intentions not to binge disappear? Think about this for a few moments, and if this is relevant for you, write down some thoughts on the lines provided on the worksheet. You can pause to do this. Crises, problematic events, or negative mood. Sometimes even the best in the world, people will find it hard to stop binge eating. This can be because of chaos going on in their personal lives, unexpected upheavals, or deterioration in mood and the resulting heightened emotions. Does this describe what's going on in your life? If this is relevant for you, jot down some thoughts about this on the lines provided, and you can pause to do this. If you're having problems with managing your moods, you may want to revisit Module 7 in Information Pack A. And if your life has suddenly been thrown into turmoil, this may not be the best time to be working at overcoming your eating disorder. If this is true for you, please consider dealing with the other priorities in your life, and then, when your situation is more stable, you can return to addressing your disturbed eating habits and weight control behaviors. Problem solving. It's easy to feel hopeless about a situation, believing that there's nothing you can do to change it or improve it, so you don't do anything and the problem continues. We're now going to describe a strategy that can help you identify not only the problem, but possible solutions. When you identify an obstacle, or in fact any problem, it can be useful to follow a problem-solving strategy. Problem-solving can be extremely helpful in tackling residual binges. Instead of feeling hopeless, you'll have a range of possible solutions to choose from. You can apply the following strategy to help address binge eating, or indeed any barriers to change that you have identified. Now here's the procedure, and then we'll practice. 1. Identify your problem and be specific. What's preventing you from achieving your goal? 2. Consider all the possible solutions to your problem. You may think of solutions by reviewing previous modules, or you may develop some solutions on your own. Don't dismiss anything at this stage, even if it does sound silly or unlikely. 3. Consider the pros and cons of each of your possible solutions. Is it achievable, and will it address all of the aspects of your problem? 4. Now choose the best alternative. 5. Develop an action plan. Take time to consider how you'll implement the plan into your life. 6. Next, act on your plan. Don't give up if change is hard to achieve in the short term. The more you work at it, the easier it becomes to change. 7. Finally, evaluate the process. Examine how well you followed your plan. The important thing to remember when evaluating the process is not to be self-critical if the plan didn't work. Start at the beginning again, and you can find a solution that works for you. Overleaf is an example of a completed worksheet designed to help you with problem solving, and then on page 12 is a blank worksheet for you to complete. Remember, this is an extremely useful strategy that you can use in all areas of your life, not just with disturbed eating habits. Keep practicing, and problem solving will become an automatic response to problems rather than hopelessness. All right, now here's your problem solving example. Now 1, identify your problem and be specific. I always binge when I get home in the afternoon. 2, consider all the possible solutions to your problem and brainstorm. Now 3, consider A, the pros, and B, the cons of each of your possible solutions. Is it achievable and will it address all of the aspects of your problem? Now on the sheet, you'll notice a chart. The first section will be your possible solutions, followed by pros and then cons. Now, for example, possible solution, don't come home after uni. The pros, I wouldn't binge. The cons, it's impossible. I have to come home sometime. Another possible solution, eat before I come home. Pros, I'd be less likely to binge if I'd eaten, but the cons, I'd have to take food with me to uni. Alternative solution, do something else with friends before I come home. Pros, I wouldn't binge with them. Cons, I'd still binge when I get home. Another possible solution, the fourth and final one I've come up with, binge before I go to university. Now, pros, that would get it out of the way, and cons, that's silly. I don't feel like binge eating in the mornings. Now, 4. The next step, we choose the best alternative. Now let's try eating before I come home. 5, develop an action plan and take time to consider how I'll implement it in my life. Take a snack to my afternoon classes so that I can eat it before I come home and I'll be less likely to binge. 6, next, act on your plan. Don't give up if change is hard to achieve in the short term. The more you work at it, the easier it becomes. So I'll start tomorrow. 7. Now finally, evaluate the process. Examine how well you followed your plan. The important thing is to remember when evaluating the process is not to be self-critical if the plan didn't work. Start at the beginning again, and you can find a solution that works for you. In my example, it went better than I expected. It was helpful to think through all the alternatives and made me realize that there were possible alternatives to my binge. It was a bit weird taking fruit with me to uni, but I did it and it was okay. I still ate too much when I got home, but it wasn't really a binge. Now it's your turn. On the next page is a problem-solving sheet for you to complete on your own. Number 1, identify your problem and be specific. Pause the recording now and identify your problem on the lines provided. Two, consider all the possible solutions to your problem and brainstorm. You can put this in the first column of the chart on the sheet. 3, now consider in the next column all the pros to your possible solutions that you listed in the first column. Is it achievable and will it address all aspects of your problem? In the final column, you'll put the cons to those possible solutions. You can pause the recording to complete this. Four, now out of the solutions that you suggested, choose your best alternative and write it on the lines provided. Five, develop an action plan and take time to consider how you'll implement it into your life. 6, next, act on your plan. Don't give up if change is hard to achieve in the short term. The more you work at it, the easier change becomes. And finally, 7, evaluate the process. Examine how well you followed your plan. The important thing to remember when evaluating the process is not to be self-critical if the plan didn't work. Remember, you can start at the beginning again and you can find a solution that works for you. Pause the recording now and complete it on the lines provided. Module summary. A major way to cease dietary restraint is to stop avoiding certain foods. Behavioral experiments are useful to test out your beliefs or predictions and can be used to help you tackle avoided foods. It is important to identify the issues related to any residual binge eating and identify any roadblocks to progress, such as alcohol or drugs, or life crises that may be diverting you from your progress. Learning a problem-solving strategy is useful, as it can be applied not only to binge eating, but all areas of your life. Now let's reflect, what have I learned in this module? Think about what you've learned in this module and any useful bits of information, tips, or strategies that you want to remember. Take some time, pause the recording, and write them down below so you can refer to them later. Think about how you might use the information you've just learned. Now, you can pause the recording to write down some ways in which you could make use of this information. Coming up in Module 4, Body Checking, Avoidance and Feeling Fat, we'll explore further the effects of basing one's self-worth on controlling eating, shape, and weight. This completes this module of the reading. Feel free to review the materials as needed. Thank you for listening.